Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pops it, short left field, on the run, coming in, Nathan Church, he has it for a Redbird winner. Collins, a fly ball out to left field, and the home season has come to an end as the Cardinals set off the fireworks, celebrating a 5-1 win over the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yo, Paulie!
Paulie's a great name.
Yo, Paulie!
What'd you do for Paulie, anything?
Me, Paulie, I was responsible!
Paulie, we're here because of you!
Yo, Paulie!
Paulie's a great name.
Yep, the Cardinals, they wrapped up their home season yesterday by beating the Milwaukee Brewers, and it's over. They did take two of three from the Brewers, however.
Well,
Milwaukee's already clinched a playoff spot, so they are going to the playoffs. The Cardinals are not going, unfortunately. Yeah. And now they will start a series tonight in San Francisco, three-gamer. Then they've got three games at Wrigley Field. And that is it for 2025. By the way, I'd like to ask some of the whoever is with the team if they felt the quake this morning. Because there was an earthquake in San Francisco.
There was.
Like a 4.5.
Yeah. I don't know how far would a 4.5 go? Because the CBS News talked about the guys that had the dishes on the floor and the pictures off the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they lost a coffee cup or two.
Yeah, it's possible.
Matt?
Yeah, Matt Pauly is here in town, so he's not on the trip in San Francisco, and Matt joins us now. How's it going, Matt?
Going all right. How are you guys?
Good. You didn't feel that quake, did you?
No, there was a quake in Frisco?
There was, about 3 a.m. their time.
Oh, I am just learning about that.
Yep, so I think everything's okay, because it wasn't one of those 8.0 quakes where bad things happen. It was just a 4.5, so.
I will say, when I was a kid, you know, we didn't have cable, so you had to watch what was on TV, 2, 4, 5, 9, 11, 24, 30, and those are the stations we had. So you saw a lot of things that you otherwise wouldn't see, and it was a Saturday. I think my parents were going out, so my grandparents were babysitting us and was flipping through the channels, and that 1970s film Earthquake was on, and I was probably like 5. Scared me.
You know what really did it for me was the 88 quake. The one that interrupted the World Series?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a real earthquake.
The real one. And that, I'm telling you, I felt that one for a while because I was nervous about driving down 40 right by the stadium where there's that section of the highway where there's the double-decker, like the eastbound is one way and westbound is on top of the other. And I thought that we were going to be driving there and it was going to collapse on top of us, like happened in San Francisco. Like I was literally afraid of that for a while. As a child.
I hate bridges. I hate driving over bridges.
I don't like them either.
So do you know...
I'm not a big fan.
I know this is a rabbit hole, but I have nothing but bad dreams. I never have good dreams. Only one time when I was 12, 11 maybe, I had a good dream. Everything else is bad, but I have recurring bad dreams, and one of them is the high overpasses, you know, like the pretzel exchanges where it's high and curving, almost like a roller coaster. And I have horrible nightmares where I'm on those, but they're very, very steep and narrow and I can't stay on it. Terrifying.
I'm like, we're like-minded. I still have nightmares about a certain bridge that I would drive when I lived in Wisconsin that I hated. So, no, there's something about bridges that I do not like. And I count overpasses, anything where you're, like, up in the air above something else while driving counts as a bridge, as far as I'm concerned.
Last bridge thing before we move on to the Cardinals.
Yeah, move on now.
Yeah, last bridge thing. I'll tell you what was terrifying is the McKinley Bridge. Before they made the outer lanes walkways, yeah. You can walk on them. Now you used to be able to drive, and I'm telling you, they're like 5 feet wide, and people, I don't know how anybody drove their car out there, but they did. All right, so Cardinals wrap up at home here, and Nolan Arenado yesterday, Matt, basically said that he did literally say that he's in the way of some of these younger players, so it seems to me he knows he's probably not going to be here next year.
Yeah, that's, you know, they did the ceremonial thing where he was in the starting lineup and then they took him out before the game got started. Ollie wanted to get him one final ovation. All indications are that he's not going to be a Cardinal. Now, all indications this time last year, not this time last year, but 3 weeks from now, this time last year, were that he was not going to be a Cardinal as well, and they weren't able to work out a deal. Maybe he's more willing to accept a trade at this point. I still question what the trade value is. He's a declining player who makes lots of money, so the Cardinals would have to eat a lot. I don't think you're going to get a whole lot for him. It's probably a sliding scale between how much money you pick up versus what kind of player you get back for him. But yeah, those were those were very direct comments yesterday from Arenado indicating that his time is done.
And you don't really hear players talk like that, not very often. And I was kind of surprised he said it the way he did it, as directly as he did.
Yeah, that's always been who he is. Like, he's just a direct guy. He doesn't beat around the bush, and I've appreciated that about him. So of everybody who would say something like that, it didn't surprise me that it came from him.
Well, I mean, and these guys get it. It is a business at the end of the day. They understand how organizations work and how they evolve and how they change. But I really like Nolan Arenado, and it was fun to have him in a Cardinals uniform.
Yeah, like, two things can be true. Nolan Arenado is a great player, a future Hall of Famer, somebody who's been a really good Cardinal, and it's time for him to not be a Cardinal anymore. Like, those things can each be true. I don't know who's going to be at third. You know, if you would have asked me 3 weeks, a month ago, I was a lot higher on Nolan Gorman then. There was about a two-month stretch from June 1st into August where Gorman was the second or third best hitter over that period for the Cardinals. But he's really fallen back again. And it's just how do you trust this guy to be somebody who can be consistent? So I don't know if it's Gorman who's the answer at third. Maybe it's J.J. Weatherholt. Maybe that's the play here, that they want Weatherholt to be a third baseman, and he's going to be the guy. Like, I don't know what the plan is, but I think it's pretty obvious that it's not Nolan Arenado.
Is there an argument to be made for Gorman that he never really got the opportunity to start every day unless there was an injury? Like, it wasn't a thing where they said, okay, start of the season, you are our third baseman, go, and let him have that position all year long without, you know, yo-yoing him in a way. Is there an argument to be made for that he just needed everyday playing time?
What you say is true. He did not get that outside of injuries, and that was one of the disappointing things about this season, because the runway year was supposed to be for him. That being said, even when he did, you know, Arenado was out for a while, and he was the everyday third baseman during that period. And right now, with Contreras being out, he's getting some more opportunities. He's hitting .138 in September. So I don't connect his lack of opportunity to the lack of success. And I don't know if you're trying to connect those two things or not, or if it's just kind of its own thing. But yeah, Arenado being around certainly hurt the Cardinals' desire to give Gorman those everyday at-bats, but even when stuff happened that resulted in him getting the everyday at-bats, he went through a really, really good stretch for a while, but he was just not able to sustain it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you
what
know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Matt, speaking of sustaining things, for about three decades, the Cardinals did sustain a high level of competitiveness and success, obviously under the auspices of John Mozeliak. But the Post-Dispatch had a piece today, this morning, about the Cardinals' attendance and kind of breaking it down by the numbers and how the Cardinals' attendance dropped by nearly a million fans from 2023, and that their average attendance of 27,778 tickets sold per game was their lowest non-pandemic average since 1995. And they have some charts and visuals looking at the Cardinals' attendance, how it was after the lockout, the strike, how fans were displeased with how Major League Baseball was operating. Took a while to come back. Of course, steroids and the Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa race did so much in pulling fans back into the game. But when you see these numbers and how low they are, how much they've dropped, I kind of start thinking ahead on what's going to bring. Is there going to be a spectacle that brings fans back? Will it just be a winning record again? Because you know the fans will come back. I just want to know when, and maybe necessarily what's the catalyst for it.
Yeah, I mean, if they start winning at a high level, that's going to do a lot. Now, that being said, let's say next year they get off to a really, really good start and they make it in the postseason, they win the division, and they do all these things. I'm not convinced that for next year that would raise the level back to like 3 million fans, because so much of your attendance during the year is based off group sales and things like that that happen for the most part in the off season. You know, when the Kiwanis Club in Oklahoma makes the decision that they're not going to do a Cardinals trip this year, you probably don't get that back in the middle of the year. That's probably something that they revisit in the next off season. So winning is the first thing. Go win more and fans will return. The one thing, and I don't expect this to happen this off season, but the one thing that can really lift attendance a bit is going and getting a player of note, going and getting like a real all-star caliber guy that gets the fan base excited. And I don't suspect that the Cardinals are going to be doing that this offseason, but I would also say this. If a trade presents itself at some point this offseason for somebody who can be an impact player and you can have control over for, you know, multiple years so that they can be part of whenever this team gets back to winning at a high level, I would hope the organization would at least look at that and see what it would take to get that. But right now, I don't really have high expectations for them bringing in a super high-level player. So I don't think attendance is going to be overly different next year. And, not to poo-poo your question, Amy, but like, there's nothing new here. Okay, like, it's cool. The Post-Dispatch gave a bunch of graphs that show us what attendance has been over the last 30 years. We've been talking about attendance all year. It's something that we know where they're at. We know why they're at it. And they just got to start winning more ball games, and then that's going to fix itself.
All right, last thing, Matt. Big weekend in college football, and Mizzou has upped themselves in the rankings. They are now in front of Illinois because the Fighting Illini just got absolutely smoked. That was so bad. But Mizzou beat South Carolina and the Illini lose to Indiana. Very interesting college football weekend.
It was. There was a lot of results that I took note of. I was most surprised by Illinois' no-show against Indiana. I thought Illinois was going to win that game. So I got that one wrong, and Indiana, I think, is better than even I gave them credit for, so credit to them. I was worried about that Missouri-South Carolina game. I think South Carolina's a good team coming in off a home loss to Vanderbilt. I thought they were going to give Mizzou their best shot, and I think they did. And when all is said and done, Missouri got a really nice win on Saturday.
Redbird Rush Hour tonight at 5 o'clock. Then the pregame show is at 7:50. The first pitch at 8:45, and I'm assuming you're on pretty much from 5 o'clock until 8:45, aren't you?
Yeah, and then late into the night for the postgame show.
Mm. That a boy. Go get him.
All right.
Yo, Paulie, your sister's with me. I'll call you back later. See ya.
Cardinals and Giants tonight. Matt Pauly does have that pregame show, 7:50. Prior to that, though, Redbird Rush Hour. And you got Sports Open Line. Goes right into the pregame show. Then an 8:45 first pitch from San Francisco.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.